This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
My favorite clitoral vibrator, unfortunately, and fortunately, I mean, I love it so much, but I feel like I blew out my clit when I was 25 because it's so powerful, is the magic wand.
I've never owned one. Can you believe that? Never. It's always owned like a rabbit type vibrator.
I mean, it's really...
She blew out her clit on
I love it.
Cam's going to be worried now. He's going, Mom, you cannot use it.
No, you didn't really... you don't really blow out your clit. Like, your nerves don't die.
Don't worry, Cam.
Oh, so I'm not worried about your clit. It's uncomfortable to talk about sex, but sometimes it's important to get uncomfortable. Sex Talk with My Mom is the best mom-son podcast about sex.
It's the only one as well.
My mother is a cougar.
My son is a clown.
In a nutshell, my dad died, so my mother decided to create a YouTube channel all about sex, like all mothers do.
And then my son decides to use my material in his stand-up comedy routines.
And thus, Sex Talk with My Mom was born. Welcome to Sex Talk with My Mom. I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm the infamous Karen Lee Potter.
The infamous.
I just called myself infamous. I don't know why.
You're famous in my life, Mother.
I'm famous in my own little life.
We're chatting about sex, my friends, twice a week. On Thursdays, we have a special guest, and today's a Thursday, and we have two extremely special guests.
It's a double your pleasure, double your fun.
Two people we've fallen in love with. Amy Baldwin and April Lampert, the hosts of the Shameless Sex Podcast.
Shameless Sex Podcast. Woohoo!
They're part of the Pleasure Podcasts Network, which is a wonderful sex podcast network.
If you have to say so yourself.
Yes, because I do run it.
And you created it.
Yes. And these two are some of my favorite people in the world, actually.
I got to say that, and I know I've said this before, but this is one of my favorite interviews ever.
Yeah, and here's why. Amy Baldwin is a semantic sex and relationships coach. She's a certified sex educator. She works at Uberlube, and get this, she owns a sex toy shop with her mom.
You know, there's nothing I like better than to hear about a mother-child duo that are in business together.
It's called the Pure Pleasure Shop. When she started it, she actually hired her friend April, who is her co-host now. April Lampert, she is a VP at Hot Octopus, which is a leading sex toy company. And together, they are a dynamic duo, and forces collided in this wonderful episode.
And they both have phenomenal hair. I was extremely jealous of this naturally wavy, perfect hair on both of them.
I was extremely jealous as well, actually.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, my womanly hair doesn't hold a candle to their beautiful hairs.
And they're actually really super nice people. And
Why are you surprised by that?
I mean, because they are like the whole package. They're smart. They're funny. They're nice. They're respectful.
They're good looking.
They're good looking. And they're shameless. And I got to tell you, you're going to learn so much.
So let's tell them about what we talked about, Mother.
One of the things I learned... There are a lot of different positions that you can get in and use different... Well, I already knew this, but you use different vibrators that I had never even heard about. Yeah, I cannot wait.
I mean, they've been in the sex toy industry for years, so they know everything there is to know about sex toys, the different positions and movements when having sex to actually use toys.
They actually taught us.
Oh, yeah. She was gyrating all over the place.
Yeah. And we're going to have a video on our YouTube channel of some of the positions, actually, that she was able to demonstrate on the video. So I look forward to checking that out. But we learned a lot about herpes. We learned about stalking. Stalking. Oh, my God. And we learned about desensitizing yourself. Is that a thing with...
There was a listener question.
With vibrate.
Do sex toys desensitize you so that it's harder to... reach orgasm. So we'll be talking about that.
Yeah. So we're not going to, without ado, we're not going to tell you any more because we really want you guys to listen to the episode that we interviewed them. And then we turned around, we flipped the tables and they interviewed us. So you got two really good podcasts coming up. Both of them.
If you check out Shameless Sex Podcast, you'll hear us. I want to say thank you to all the people that left us reviews on iTunes. It's super helpful. And I wanted to read one.
I want you to know that I was very grateful at Thanksgiving for this opportunity to do a podcast with you, by the way.
Thank you, Mother.
And also, I'm grateful for all the listeners that have been listening loyally all this time and never tire of hearing our banter.
I'm also very, very grateful. So thank you for listening. And this person is also grateful. Wishing 211964 is their name from France. Thanks. 5 stars. One of my favorite feel-good, funny, and so wonderfully informative podcasts. Thank you both for brightening our days. Kiss, kiss. It's very sweet.
Can I
short,
just,
sweet, and beautiful.
Can I say one more word? Merci. Actually, 2 words. Merci beaucoup. Can you believe I remembered? Thank you very much.
Je m'appelle Claude.
Claude? Je m'appelle Karine. Je m'appelle Karine. Où est la bibliothèque? This is what I remember from my honors French in high school.
Well, do you know how to say join us on Patreon for some extra goodies?
Join us on Patreon.
For extra goodies.
For a little extra special content.
Yes, we have a little extra bonus with Amy and April. If you can't get enough of them, check us out at patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom. And lastly, I want to say, it is a freaking hoot when I open up Instagram and I see that someone has tagged us in their story saying, check out what I'm listening to. And they show us where they're listening.
And they, you know what? It makes us feel good, warm and fuzzies.
So tag us at Sex Talk with My Mom in your story and we will repost it.
It's so much fun.
So fun. I think we're ready, Mother.
Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees. And all the little sex toysies. Oh, not so bad.
No. Enjoy.
Stay tuned.
Amy and April, welcome to the show.
We are so happy to have 2 beautiful guests with beautiful hair. We're happy to be here.
Super happy to be here. We've been talking about this for a long time.
Yes. This collab has been in the works because there are another pleasure podcast, which everyone should check out.
Yeah. And it's called Shameless Sex. Woo!
We love Shameless Sex.
How did you guys become so shameless?
Oh, that journey? Let's see. It's a journey. We were not born this way. And we were born this way, actually. We probably were, actually. We were probably born nice and pure and had no shame. And then society gave us a whole bunch of it and told us what we should and should not do. But
did your family... Was it a pretty open discussion growing up?
No.
About sex?
No. I was from the conservative Midwest. Well, I guess I still technically am. So Wisconsin.
Go Midwest.
And so sex was never a thing that was discussed. It was only after my mom kind of assumed I was having sex. She's like, are you on birth control? And I was like, yeah, I already took care of that. I went to Planned Parenthood by myself.
years ago.
Yeah. Thanks.
Oh, so, do you wish that she had come with you?
Probably not, because it was just an awkward, it was not something that was openly discussed. Amy had a very different relationship with sex and talking about sex with your mom.
Well, yeah, and I've owned a sex shop with my mom for the last 11 years as well. So yeah, so we're doing a similar thing as you all. And we since then sold the retail store. It's called Pure Pleasure Shop, but we still own the website. And so I was raised in Santa Cruz, California. So a little more open-minded and liberal city. And my mom, she didn't talk to me about pleasure, but actually both my parents, I could tell sex wasn't shameful with either of them. My dad just didn't give a fuck. Like I could be 16 and have a boy in my bedroom and there was not that dad who's like, you better leave the door open. No, he actually just, and I think I actually probably wanted him to care more than he did, right? It's like, he didn't give a fuck. And that was really nice because I had a lot of spaciousness and freedom and knew that sex wasn't a bad thing. But he also didn't show up with that concern for me. And my mom, she did come to me before I was sexually active and asked me, told me if I want, when I wanted to be sexually active, I can get on birth control. So, well, I wish I had more lessons about pleasure, which that would have been nice because I had to learn a lot of trial and error that way. But I did know that about like health and wellness and that sex wasn't a bad thing.
Wild.
So was your mom already in this business and then she brought you in?
Or? I brought her in.
Oh, wow.
So when I was 18, I took a human sexuality class and I loved every second of it. I was like, this is what I want to do.
So she brought me in too.
Yeah, then I brought her in.
No shit.
Yeah. She did.
Yeah, wait, I brought her in.
But, start
at
the beginning. How did you two meet then? I don't understand.
You were working in a restaurant.
We were working in a restaurant together.
Wait,
in
where?
Santa Cruz.
So you're from the Midwest, but you moved.
I graduated from college in 2005, and I was studying for the LSATs, and so I moved out to California with my ex-boyfriend and got a job, and she worked at the same restaurant, and I told her a story about going to this party, and I'm from the Midwest, and I got spanked at this party. What? And I like bent over and I was like, I was at this party last night, and it was the craziest thing. Some guy was like, bend over, and then he spanked me, and Amy turned bright red because I didn't know her that well. And I was like, oh my God, did I offend you? And she's like, no, I think I love you.
Oh my like, God. Oh,
okay.
Oh, and then was it an immediate love?
It was very quick.
Thought she was awesome, but she was also like, you know, like homegrown Santa Cruz local, so they kind of, you know, have their own
bubble.
I'm the transplant, so it took a minute, but then
it felt like a quick minute.
It was a quick minute. Yeah. And then she was talking about she was going to school for human sexuality and studying, and then how she wanted to open a sex shop. And then over the course of some time, she was like, you should work at the sex shop. And I was like, why? She's like, I think you'd be really good. I'm like, doing what? She's like, well, you can help with merchandising, because I have a visual eye, and then help her just with various things. And then she's like, you can come on as like a manager.
No
way. I
was
like, I've never worked in retail in my life. I don't own a vibrator. And then she gave me my first vibrator and was like, now you do. And I was like, I was 23. Yeah. My first vibrator. And then
it's like so funny how people learn about vibrators through their friends. Cause yeah, I remember we did that. I of course was the one handing vibrators out, even when I was in my sorority, you know, I was like, oh, I'm the bad girl handing out the vibrators. But actually,
you're an angel.
I also taught them how to use Tampax. They didn't even want to use Tampax. They only wanted pads. So,
oh, yeah. You're like,
hey, I have something that will change your life.
How did you learn all this shit?
Yeah, mom.
Reading. Oh. Definitely books. Yeah. Our bodies, ourselves.
That was like kind of the book and the joy of sex.
During my day. Yeah. Yeah. But I guess, you know, I'm a little bit more adventuresome with that than most.
Because you're the eldest child, too. You didn't have anyone above you to teach you.
You think my sister taught me? No. No, she was younger.
Have you always talked to Cam about sex?
Always.
Always.
Oh, yeah.
You get from a young age, you're like,
la, 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 mom. Well, we'll get to that. Anyway, back to you guys.
Yeah. We're trying to interview you.
Sorry. So you opened a shop.
Yep. Yeah, we opened a shop in 2008.
Because I remember walking in the first time and I was thinking, the girl behind the counter does not know what the fuck. First of all, recently I went in there. It was one of my daughter's friends from high school. I'm like, this is weird.
What?
She used to come
working
over.
There? Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. I'm not going to give any names out, but this girl's working there.
That's awesome.
I'm like, okay, this is a little girl that was singing in the choir. Now she's working, and I'm supposed to ask her questions about what products are good for anal sex.
Yeah.
That's not going to work, okay?
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that you guys seem a little more well-informed.
Yeah. You can call us about anal anytime, okay?
It's our favorite topic.
Well,
it was important for us when we opened Pure Pleasure to be an educational resource. So it wasn't just salespeople selling dildos. It was so people could come there and ask these questions and actually leave there feeling like they were more knowledgeable about sex in general, you know, that they weren't alone. A lot of people want coming in, they're not asking, am I normal? But that's what they're really asking beneath a lot of it.
Mm.
And so that was important to us too. And we did, you know, weekly classes. So it really became that. It became a resource. And we sold toys on the side.
Yeah. Amy was like, you have to watch all the porn. Yeah. That we sell.
That's your homework.
Okay. So yeah. I'd like watch so much porn. I'm like, I'd have parties at my house with porn just on the background because I was like, I have to watch this. Let me know what your feedback is.
And people it's
like,
homework.
Yeah. I'm like, it's for my job. Yeah,
okay? Oh my God. So what was the moment when you were like, okay, I'm taking human sexuality courses and now I'm going to go and open a shop?
The sex shop thing. So I went to transfer to San Francisco State because they had a human sexuality program. Mm-hmm. So I'm a major in psychology, minored in human sexuality, was planning on going back for a master's. But what I did instead was I opened a sex shop. So and one of our class field trips at San Francisco State was to go to Good Vibrations mm-hmm. in San Francisco. And I saw that. And at the time, my mom wanted to open up a business that somehow empowered women. She was thinking like a women's spa.
Thinking about something else.
Yeah. And I was like, mom, this is what we should do. We should open up a store that is sex positive, that's educational. We didn't have anything like that in Santa Cruz at the time, where it was, you know, they were doing the workshops and the classes, and it was like an educational resource. So, and she at first was like, really, me in a sex shop? But then she was like, huh, maybe. And we worked on it for about 2 years and then finally actually did. No one believes you when you're like, hey, friends, guess what? I'm going to open up a dildo shop. They're like, yeah, you're right. So not going to do that. And like, mm-hmm, no, I'm definitely going to do it.
But did you run into roadblocks from like the city ordinances or anything?
There was no problem. Santa Cruz didn't have issues with it. There was no city ordinances about sex shops. They have it about tattoo parlors and massage parlors. But no, there wasn't. It was so easy to do. And there
Full
was
a, Circle and Good Vibrations was the one that bought your brick and mortar.
Yeah, now Good Vibrations owns Pure Pleasure. So they were our inspiration for opening it, and now they own Pure Pleasure, and we still are at purepleasureshop.com. So my mom is still in the industry. It's just now she gets to be from home.
So what has it been like being in the industry as women? I mean, is it predominantly male industry?
It's shifted. I feel like it's shifted in the last, since I came on board in 2008, which is like 11 years ago, since we both were at trade shows walking around. It was definitely a more misogynist vibe back then. And it's shifted now. There's a lot more women in power and a lot more sex positivity, mm-hmm. and a lot more products that are geared for non-gendered packaging and geared for the masses instead of being a porn star plastered on the packaging with their vulvas out.
Yeah. What about like guys that you were dating? Were they judging you guys for, or were they turned on by it?
I got both. Yeah, it is. It's kind of a toss up. It's usually uncomfortable. It's on some level.
It's one of those things. So if you're single and you're like, you own a sex shop or you are a sex educator or, and so you probably experienced this too. But for as women, I would either want men who are super like, oh my God, that's so exciting. Like they can't get enough of it. Or men that were like, wow, that's really intimidating. Mm. And so both. And sometimes the ones that were really excited, if we started a date at first, it was a very exciting thing for them. And then it became threatening for some of them. Mm. They really didn't. Eventually they discovered that they weren't that comfortable with me speaking openly to clients because I'm a coach too, or talking about my sex life now in front of a microphone, all these things that at first was kind of exciting and then became threatening to their masculinity.
Oh wow.
But sorry, I sound great. In my adult life, I'd say my 30s now, as someone who's recently single again, I really committed to only dating men that really supported that. Like, what you see is what you get. And if you're on board, like I tell them all the wildest shit about Amy, and the person I'm currently seeing has listened to every episode of my podcast.
Whoa.
It's like they were a fan.
Who listened to, actually started listening to my podcast for their own relationship stuff.
Get
their own relationship
here.
Issues. And it's been really cool because they had this kind of C-grade celebrity crush on me. Didn't know me, but they knew so much about me and how I operate and like the sex that I like having and my wild adventures. And they're interested in that person. So that was exciting. It was like, okay, I don't, it's already all on the table.
Yeah,
you're signing up for that.
You don't have to put up any kind of pretend walls.
Yeah.
You're just going to go, hey, this is who I am. That's how I am with my boyfriend. I'm like, listen, this is it. If you don't like it, then this is going to be a big issue.
Which is how it should be about everything. But yeah. I think I have found myself, and I don't know if you have too, April, like in certain conversations with people, like maybe hiding some things or not disclosing the full parts of me because I'm worried, is it too much?
Mm. I think that's, and I don't want to be a blanket statement here, but I would think that's more typical of younger girls.
Like,
I know that's how I was with even my husband in college. I was very... like we were best friends. So I would tell him everything that was going on in my life. And then we started seeing each other like more romantically. And all of a sudden he'd say, like, you told me so much more about yourself when we were not dating. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of like you outgrow that at some point when you start getting super confident, as I put it, as like a cougar. And you don't give a shit really. If the person is not going to accept every single thing about you, the way you think, the way you are, then it's not going to be a good relationship.
And it's going to come out. Like if we do a long-term relationship with this person, they're going to see all these shadows and sides and cracks and the good things. Oh, they're all of us.
Yeah.
Including the wrinkles.
Yeah. All of them.
Podcasting is such an interesting effect had an interesting effect on me.
I know Cam's all excited about what you just said.
Why?
I know you. I know you very well, and I know
you're like, hey, podcast fans,
yeah, exactly.
New podcast fans, exactly. Want a day cam.
I mean, it has been okay. I'll get to that, but okay, so
Stay with that.
Mom likes it.
What?
Well, you're on that subject. We're not going to end up coming back because we're too ADD.
We'll get back.
We just like there are people that message you, DM you, and even to the point where going out on a quasi date with you. And it's hard to know what to do. It's like they're virtual strangers.
Have you entertained any of these DMs?
Yes, I have.
And?
It's been interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting or?
Yeah, I think so. At the least, I've made friends, which is cool. But it is hard to gauge. You know, there is like a very fine line between, okay, is this like a stalker or is this like, you know, a really cool person that just vibes with me?
Amy met the fan outside of just on the internet, though. Like, she met him in person.
But he was already a fan. Yeah.
But it was like they met, so they had actually, because it was like a random occurrence where he was like, hey, I know you from Shameless Sex.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And he lives in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
So, are you still seeing him?
I am, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
This is very cool.
Yeah.
That I think that's the ideal.
It's very, like, inspiring, yes. Wow, inspiring for Cam, right?
Yeah. Mom likes it. She's so excited.
I just have to walk the streets of Santa Cruz.
And they're like, Cam from Sex Talk with my mom. Yeah. You're my celebrity crush.
But you look different in your pictures, well, like your album cover, because you have the clown makeup on, the mime makeup.
Yeah, it's a mime, not a clown.
Sorry. Well, you call him a clown in your intro.
Yes, good
so
call.
That's where I'm saying the cougar and the clown.
Yes, that is correct.
The cougar and now I have clown.
Womanly hair, so you.
The womanly, right, yeah, the womanly clown.
So you might not be recognized on the streets of Santa Cruz.
Yeah,
we have been recognized though, and it is fun to get recognized.
Yes,
it is really fun, especially if you're like at a podcast convention type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And these four girls went up to us, and they knew who we were.
Well, podcasters listen to podcasts.
Well, I got called out at 7 a.m. taking my dog out for a walk when I looked pretty haggard. Someone's like, Shameless Sex. I was like, oh, shit.
No.
Shameless dog walk.
Yeah. I was like,
shameful dog walk.
Yeah, recognize my dog. They're like, is that Legend?
I'm like, yes. I get the other side too. Like, this morning was a horrifying morning because I don't know how somehow my phone number got on one of my Instagram pages.
For
the last couple of days, I've had guys like out of the blue going, hey, sexy. I'm like, what the fuck?
Like,
who is this? Texting
this.
Me. I don't know who is it.
No.
And today I got a lovely dick pic, which is always fun on your personal line. And I literally had to say to this kid, and I say kid because he later admitted he was 18. I'm like, listen, bud, this is what I think about your dick pic. This is sexual harassment, and I can go to the police with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a break this time because you're uneducated, but learn from this and learn to respect women.
Yeah.
Woo! Did you figure out how to get your number off of Instagram?
At first, what I do is I keep them going for a while so I could figure out where they found it, because it could be anywhere. I've got so many different things over the years. I've been doing this since 2012. They could have found me on any number because, you know, you fill out forms and stuff and your phone number is attached to it. Cam had to fix something on one of my pages so that it's private and somehow it was public. I don't know how it went public for like 2 days.
Oh, no.
I shouldn't even say this because now everybody's going to go looking for it.
You guys want to hear a funny story about a dick pic?
Yeah, I'll take it.
I love dick pic stories.
So when I was single in early 2017, I slept with this guy 2 different times and he sent me this dick pic, and it was like, I don't love seeing the money shot.
It was a dick video.
A dick video. I don't love seeing the money shot. And I was with April, and like, it's not my thing. Like, I mean, in person, I'm into the ejaculation. I think it's hot, but like in a video, I'm not. It's not my jam. I'm just like, oh no. So, like, I'll look at your cock in a video, but when it comes to you coming, like, no, thank you. So I made April watch. I was like, April, you have to watch this because if there's a cum shot, I can't watch it. And she watches it, and she's like, oh my god, he did not even film this today.
I'm like, this is a pre-recorded. Dick video.
Are you kidding me?
He sent this to someone else before. He's just recycling it, which I've totally done.
How did
before.
You find that out?
Yeah. I don't know. It was the lighting, yeah. And I was like, because
it was daylight savings time.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. It's like a whole different season. Or
it
something.
Was. Yeah. It was. You could tell.
And so, but funny thing. So she looked at it and saw it, and then
I sent him a video back of a cat getting wet in the shower, so it was like a real wet cat. Pussy.
Yeah, and he loved it. He's like, oh my god,
he's like, oh my god,
great.
I love you.
So, but the best part of the story is, this person I was slept with twice. I got back together with my ex at the time, and then April was single, and I was like, hey, you should hook up with this guy, because she wanted to date an older man who's 14 years older than her. And she's like, I really want an old dick. So we call him an OD. He's an old dick. I was like pushing him, like, you know, I slept with him. He's great. He's clean. You should go and try this out. and this is her current partner.
Yeah.
And so,
oh my God.
And so she's like, I already saw your dick.
I know. He was so embarrassed. He was like, you what? Like,
I saw your recycled dick.
Oh my God.
Dick.
Yeah.
But I saw your recycled dick.
He was even like, I've never really sent that to anyone. I was like, don't lie.
Yeah. Don't lie.
So
I saw the daylight savings.
You both slept with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
But at different times. Never together.
Eskimo sisters.
Yeah, Eskimo sisters. I slept with him twice and then gave
it
her the reference.
It happens a lot in Santa Cruz.
And then she got a relationship with him. And they're still together.
It happens a lot in Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz is the fishbowl, dude.
I think it's anywhere. If you're in any kind of town, everybody knows each other. My friends recycle everybody. Everybody. I mean, there's a divorce and everybody slept with everybody. It's unbelievable. It's actually kind of
environmentally
hilarious.
Yeah, mentally friendly.
It was hard for me. It was hard for me at first because I had never had anyone in the fishbowl, And now, you know, my current partner was single for many years. And so obviously he's an attractive guy. He, you know, made some rounds.
Wasn't he telling you when you guys were hooking him? He's like, Amy's a squirter. Are you a squirter too?
Yeah, he was like, she's a gusher. God. I was like, oh, okay, good to know.
Wait. So is your most common question, do you guys have sex together? Or with, you've never had that question?
Am I like, no, has no one's ever asked people, that.
No.
We don't,
no.
How
no.
is that possible?
I love that my that mother would be is like the first to ask
question
you.
Yeah, first. That I would, I get asked that all the time when I'm out with my friends. Like, oh, you guys do, you know, threesomes or what? You don't get that.
Yeah.
No.
And you talk about sex and you guys are both very attractive women. No one's ever asked you if you guys have had sex.
I don't think so.
I don't recall.
Not that I know of.
No. Did you not want
to? Get your mind out of the gutter, Karen.
Yeah, I did not think that at all.
Bullshit.
I didn't. But
okay, just
maybe because we have this sisterly vibe.
You have
no,
a sisterly
no,
vibe.
No, that would encourage them more. No. Oh. Are you kidding me? I had some guy open a door and hopefully his brother walk in. I'm like, no. Sisters is like a...
Although your current partner was talking about having us make out together.
So it's coming
with him.
The person I'm seeing did?
Yeah, at dinner the other night.
Oh, well, I missed that.
Yeah. Well, actually, my partner picked up on it. He's like, oh, I think that.
See, he's asking if all four of us could or?
No, us, just us three.
You and him in front of your partner?
You and him and me.
This is so your hard. Yeah. Was I in the bathroom?
Well, I don't
okay.
know.
And your partner's like,
My partner was like, oh, okay.
See,
where's this going?
I'm uncovering things that you guys didn't even know existed.
I didn't catch on to it either after.
You guys are burners, right? Like you go to Burning Man?
Amy is a burner. I've been one time to Burning Man. Okay. 2012.
Excuse me, burners?
Yeah, mother.
Yeah, it's a thing.
I've
been to Burning Man.
Burner.
I can say that.
He thinks he's like Mr. Burner.
Yeah,
now.
I'm a big burner.
Yeah, a burner.
You can see my fucking hair.
I think 2020, I'm going to go though again.
Woohoo. I could tell you I'm not going to be a burner. Ever. I would have been a burner in my day, but I'm so not a burner now.
No,
it's never too late.
No.
You can do it. You can do glam burning.
Glamping in your glamping. Fancy RV with Love Stacy.
No, I don't think she's going to do that.
Glam is not glam enough. There's never enough glam.
She's like, is there a nice
four
hotel?
Seasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Four seasons. If there are four seasons down in that Burning Man area, that's where I'll be.
You would like it for like a couple hours.
Yeah, I like to go there, take that soap shower that seemed fun, and then leave.
The Bronners?
Yeah, and you wouldn't like that either.
No, I wouldn't. Who the hell is groping me with the fucking filthy hands? No.
That happened
to
me.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
I've done that a number of times. It's awesome.
And this guy started massaging me, and I was like, yo.
Did not
get
tell
your
you.
Get grubby massaging dirty paws off.
Yeah. I had like soap in my eyes. I'm like, what?
Because
the
they get
fuck
you from
is
above.
Yeah.
All right. So you never even, have you ever thought about having sex with each other? No one, that's not, oh my
Amy
God.
Is what she calls painfully straight. I'm heteroflexible. It's just weird when I cross a friendship line with, especially like from past experience, bad past experience. I hooked up with my best girlfriend, had a relationship with her. And when I was in my early 20s and destroyed our relationship. So I'm kind of burned by that. Like going back to that would be really hard. So,
especially business partners.
And I think like, you know, we're not really sexually attracted to each other. We both think each other are beautiful, but it's not like, oh, I want to rip your clothes off. You're hot. So I'd be fine. Like if you banged it out next to me, be like, okay, I think you have actually before.
Probably.
Yeah. I was wondering about that too. Yeah.
But I just like probably put my headphones in and was like,
la, 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 la.
I mean, you use a vibrator next to me before too, when I like passed out. I was like, oh,
that is hilarious.
We're getting the scoop. Oh my God. Okay.
I think it was your vibrator.
It was my vibrator. Yeah. I was like, sure. You can
wait,
use
you
it.
Used it to each other's vibrator. Did you clean them?
I don't remember.
I think I used one of your demo vibrators.
Yeah,
for
you did.
Products.
I think you washed it first.
Yeah. Hopefully after too.
Maybe after.
I don't remember.
I don't know. I was like, go for it.
Were you really wasted? Because I've done that once when I was really wasted.
Yeah, but we probably were intoxicated.
Yeah, I think
likely.
You were trying to go to sleep and you couldn't sleep. So you thought maybe an orgasm would have helped
me
you.
Go to sleep.
Wait, what do you mean you were really wasted?
I knew this was going to come up. Okay.
You brought it up. You literally said that happened to me too.
Well, I was thinking of when it would have happened to me, and it was not recently, obviously. But when I was in my I went through this glory days of being single for about a year. And during that crazy time, I remember that there were times when I did use a vibrator when other people were in the room.
Oh, but you weren't using friends' vibrators.
Never.
That's what the situation
I actually is. Just gave, though, my friends, because I get so many vibrators. Like, I gave them that were, you know, maybe tested once, and I sterilized it and gave it to them. They didn't care.
No, it's fine.
I got yelled at by one of my friends. How do you not bring me a vibrator when you come in town? I'm like, geez, what the fuck?
They're starting to get on my case now.
They are.
I have to start bringing my mother's friends vibrators.
It's
your
true.
Mother's friends. Oh, yes. Awesome.
Although, have you ever had a new partner try to use a toy on you? That this was a whole thing
from a past relationship
because that happened to me.
It's just mentally unsanitary.
Well, for me too. I'm like, no, I know the owner of this company. Yeah. Like, I'll just rather go and get a brand new one.
Yeah.
But that happened, and I didn't want to shame him because I thought like he should get some kind of props or kudos for trying. And I was like, good for you that you're using products, but like, let's not use products that you use with your past.
Well, it could be dangerous. People.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could.
I mean, most are medical grade silicones. So you just wash them with soap and water. It's like the energy that's inside the tube.
Mentally,
especially as like an internal.
But then, how far do you go without? What about the sheets and then the mattress? Like, I thought about this
whole
stuff. What about
the lube and candles?
Yes. Okay. So, and I had my sex toys through relationships, and they're my personal ones.
Right, Right. That's another thing. Like, Cam, do you have like sex toys by your bed for women when they come over?
They're across the little, I have a divider. It's not next to my bed.
Yeah, because as a woman not in this industry, I'd have to bring mine with me wherever I went.
Yeah.
So let's get into vibrators.
Mm.
Vibrators.
What's your favorite clitoral stimulant vibrator? Stimulating. I can't speak.
Amy?
I really love the technology that Satisfyer and the Womanizer make. It's the clitoral vibes that they vibrate and they have a slight suction to them because they don't overstimulate me. Like, I can use it and have orgasm after orgasm after orgasm. My clit, it doesn't like all of a sudden feel like it's gonna burn
off.
It
sounds like,
yeah, but when it's on your body, it's quiet. But at first, yeah, it's like,
wait, are you talking about the Lilo Sona?
Yeah, Lilo does one too. Yeah, the Lilo Sona, all these companies do have their own version.
I didn't love that.
You didn't like it? Was your style? Yeah,
really?
No,
yes, but I find I have to find the put in the perfect spots, like the upper left hand side of my clitoris is perfect spot. And I like get it right there, and it's
what's going on with that upper left hand
side. Yeah, I said the same thing. Why does everybody like the upper left?
I haven't figured it out, but my body likes it too. I heard about that from Oming, you know, from orgasmic meditation. Yes. They swear by that. And for me, that applies to my body too, with a vibrator, not with other touch, right? Like with a vibrator specifically.
Oh, not fingers?
Fingers, there's all kinds of, my body wants them all kinds of places. So it's not just that, it's not my one spot with fingers.
Right.
It's like the intensity of a vibrator.
You know
right
what's
there.
Weird? I just discovered the other day during penetrative sex, I don't like to finger myself when I'm being penetrated, but if someone else does, then I can get off more.
Yeah, me too.
Why is that? Because like, it's so weird. If I'm on my own, it can be effective. But when I'm with a partner and I just like, you know, he's like, touch your clit. I'm like, okay.
Touching
it. And then I'm like, this isn't doing anything for me.
No, there's something about like when your partner knows what he's doing
or knows
your body well enough.
Knows my body, or just like something about it. I just realized that the other day and I'm like, huh, wonder where that comes from. I like
also maybe because you're focusing so much on your orgasm, you want to focus on making yourself do the finger motions for it.
Well, I mean,
if your brain can only handle so many things at once.
There's a lot going on.
Maybe.
Totally.
Weird. There's a lot
so
going on.
So usually if I do it, I just do it because they like the visual of it. Yeah. It's not for me. It's for them.
But if they're doing it,
it's cool.
Yeah.
I was the same, but what I've been doing is actually rubbing my clit against them, like the you know, the erectile tissue, the clit against them, as opposed to just rubbing my clit. And that, and then I feel a lot of pleasure with me touching myself while I'm having sex.
Were you on tap?
Any position actually you can do it pretty much any position, but as long as there's like a gap where I can put my hand.
Well,
in
I mix the bump and the grind. I mix the, because my partner likes the
thrusting
in out, and I like the grind. So we'll like switch it up 50-50. So during the old in out.
Do you
in
set
out.
A timer? You're like, okay, my turn.
No, but usually I'm like, no, I need the grinding, but because I do enjoy that as well. But anyway, that was a sidebar because we were talking about external stimulation.
We could stay on this.
No, let's stay on the vibrators.
The grinding. What is it? Is the grinding?
So it's like when you're, you know, when you're like on top or they're on top and you're like,
it's like dancing.
Basically your pubic. Yeah,
it's,
your pubic
it's more
bones.
Like
or
gyrating.
Tissue.
Wait,
We're getting a visual
it's like the
here.
Pelvic floor is kind
visual.
Of like this as opposed to this. It's more
it's opposed to like a thrusting. Yeah. It's more it's literally
is
grinding.
Grinding.
I know,
grinding
wait,
like
this
when
is
you're
safe
seventh,
for adults.
Seventh grade.
Wait, there's a video right there.
No, I'm saying you have to get more explicit if you're like doing something.
Oh, to
visual.
Describe them.
Yeah, because they can't imagine if they're just
so this is how I can describe it. If I'm on top, so my partner's laying their back, so their cock is up, you're in it's a missionary position where I'm straddling them. I'm essentially grinding them and trying to take all my pussy lips and my clit and rub it against their body back and forth.
The base of the shaft.
Yeah, the whole
wait,
thing.
Who's on top?
I am.
Okay.
So I'm rubbing my body, grinding them in a way that my genitals are trying to rub against their body, because that actually gets me off, like feels really amazing on my genitals. That's a grinding, whereas a thrusting would be there'd be a gap between my body off and on that. Mm-hmm. So they're different things, where in thrusting can feel really nice and get to deeper spots, but it hits the whole external vulva.
Well, also if they're on top, if you have a, like, let's say a penis owner is on top, they can grab your butt and like grind on you as well. Mm-hmm. If you have, you know, a strong partner.
Yes. I can imagine. So your boyfriend or your partner likes the thrusting, doesn't like the grinding as much.
He gets off more from the thrusting. Yeah. I get off more from the grinding. So we've had conversations about this and I'm like, hey, we need to kind of like, I totally support this. So if there only is going to be... I totally support this because I, you know, I know how... I support this cause. So usually, because he always tries to like help me orgasm first. And so sometimes
she comes first. Love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
great book.
And then after that, I know the thrusting is coming. So... You know, that's fine.
I know the thrusting
that's
is
just
coming.
What, yeah, that's why he gets
it's
off.
It's coming. Like, it's coming.
Yeah. So, but I, like, my favorite clitoral vibrator, unfortunately, and fortunately, I mean, I love it so much, but I feel like I blew out my clit when I was 25 because it's so powerful, is the Magic Wand.
By, wait.
Well, it's by Vibratex.
You were talking about this yesterday.
It was the Hitachi. Well,
the Hitachi. I've never owned one. Can you believe that? Never. It's I've always owned like a rabbit type vibrator.
I mean, it's really.
She blew out her clit on this
I blew
thing.
Out my. I mean, I love
now,
it. It's
Cam's
not,
gonna be worried now. He's gonna, Mom, you cannot use it.
No, you didn't really. You don't really blow out your clit. Like your nerves
don't worry,
die.
Cam.
No, so I'm not worried about your clit. One of our listeners did ask. Should they, you know, do vibrators desensitize you and make it harder to have sex?
No.
It's only the first of all, yeah. First of all, it doesn't make it harder to have sex.
It's your brain's association.
Harder to orgasm while having sex.
So it doesn't change your body, like your biology, your physiology, your clit doesn't change from this, but your brain's association with the thing that got you off really quickly, your brain gets hooked
on
the
dopamine release.
So yeah, it can desensitize you in your brain where your brain's just like, oh, this fingers are now taking 20 minutes. I want the vibrator. It only takes 1 minute. Right. And then you get stuck in that. And so it's a, but anyone can learn new ways to get off. It's just a journey. It's not that easy. You don't just press a button like, oh,
that's a very good explanation. I like that.
But it seems like we arrive at the same conclusion, which it does make it harder than to orgasm
without your vibe. Without
the vibe. But not everyone. There's some people that like 1 minute they can go and use a magic wand, have an orgasm in 2 minutes, and then they can still get off with their fingers and with penises or dildos. And for some people, they'll you know, that will be more of an issue for them. They'll get more used to the vibrator and it's harder to get off these. It's just everyone's different in terms of how that works.
Okay, yeah. So when you blew out your clit,
I like that terminology.
It's just a joke that
she didn't really blow it out. So,
no, but still working.
Eventually, did your brain stop making those connections?
And I had to go on vibrator fasts where I'm like, I have to fast from using a vibrator for a month or for 2 months so my body can readjust to other forms of stimulation.
We were once sponsored by a company called Smiling Dick, which was basically a vibrator for men that would just like vibrate on your shaft.
I've never heard
this. Desensitize a man.
Oh.
It's for a purpose.
You're supposed to jerk off with this.
So you can last longer.
Stamina trainer.
Yes. Mm. So I use it and then it had another effect on me, which was that I got very paranoid that I blew out my dick.
Oh no.
And I just would stop feeling all the, you know,
you cannot blow
sensations.
Out your dick, Cam.
Well, I called the urologist after this.
Yes. and he expressed to you that is not a thing.
It was fine.
Not a thing.
So, but
thank God we have
I'm back to normal, back to hypersensitivity.
Back to hypersensitivity.
Yes.
I'm glad you didn't blow your dick out.
Just like the sex toys, you want to be careful with what you put on or in your body. And that's why we're sponsored by Native Deodorant.
You don't want to put shit under your armpits like aluminum, parabens, talc. It's all bad shit.
And Native Deodorant doesn't contain any of that. Instead, they have very natural ingredients like coconut oil, shea butter, and tapioca starch.
And it all smells good, which is what you want under your pits.
I have been on the search for quality natural deodorants.
Oh, I know. You research the shit out of that stuff.
And I've tried them, and most of them make me smell worse than my BO.
But this one, Native, it works.
They have a no-risk trial. So all you got to do is, you know, buy it. If you don't like it, you can return it or exchange it in the USA.
Cam, they had 9,000 five-star reviews.
So for 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code MOM, M-O-M. nativedeodorant.com, use promo code MOM. And for this holiday season, they now have a new flavor of candy cane.
Oh, how cute. You guys, you got to try this stuff.
Jangle, jangle.
Jangle, jangle. Clitoral stimulation. I like the Lilo Nia because it fits in the palm of your hand.
It's so cute.
It's adorable.
And it's
not strong enough for me.
Nice, strong You wild animal.
That's what I'm saying. I blew out my clit. I can't, but it's hard for me now to find anything that works as well.
So the neon full blast is still not powerful enough?
But it'll work, but it'll probably take a long time.
But the way vibrations work, because that's more of a buzzy vibrator. Yeah, and so the buzzy, and you're talking about a thuddy one, April. And so the thuddy one. So people who like thuddy stuff, buzzy's annoying because it only vibrates like the, you know, the first little bit of the skin.
I need the deeper dermal tissue.
I'm saying there are people who love buzzy and it's great for them. And it's amazing. Like the Nia is adorable. It's a great size. I would say, as people worked in a sex shop, when we were helping people, customers find toys, we say, have you owned a vibrator before? Okay, they say yes. Do you like strong vibrations, medium light? If they said medium light, Nia, I would go with that. If they said strong, I would not sell them the Nia. I would sell them, you know, the Sona, or if they were talking about Lilo, or the Magic Wand, or something else that's more thuddy.
Mm. Now, the question is if I'm using it during sex or on my own. So during sex, the Nia is good.
Yes, because it's nice and compact and contours your body.
You can get to it, you know. That's a good way. And then both of you guys can enjoy that vibration.
Well, yeah. Hot Octopus makes the company that I run, and the VP of this mostly penis oriented products. But we just launched two vulva stimulating toys, and one actually works for me. It's called the Digit, and it goes on your finger.
Like a ring.
So it's like, and it actually is strong enough. Like, it's this really rumbly penetrative vibration. It's the first smaller compact product that I've actually been able to use, which has been effective.
Goes on what finger?
It goes on either your index or your middle, and it's it fits like a ring. It's beautiful. I might have brought you one. I have to.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I know that you get a lot of vibrators. It's really great. And it's beautiful. It's sexy. It's sleek.
And you use it during sex.
Yes, your partner. It can actually fit on either you or your partner's hands. And then just like during doggy, you could do like the old reach around.
Oh, wow.
Or, you know, from underneath, or you can wear it yourself and use it. And it actually really does work. It has a bulbous head, and it can just get into the regions of the clitoris, because honestly, with the magic wand, it's so bulky sometimes in different positions. I can't get it in the right spot, so I've had to adjust.
I just got a visual of you. Huge thing in your trash.
It's a big fucking thing. It looks massive. It's like an old computer.
It's like a baseball bat. I call it the baseball bat.
I'm it's like sticking a baseball bat in the middle. You're trying to have sex. He's trying to find a place to get in there, and you go,
I know. He calls it the nemesis. He's like, do you need the nemesis? Like, yeah, I do.
So you guys are not like at all shameful about, like, if you're with a new partner saying, I need to bring out my vibrator, you just have to deal with this.
I wouldn't say it that way exactly, but I don't have shame in being like, I want to use my toy. But I also, like, I had a phase, I had my first orgasm from a vibrator when I was 18, and it was pretty a stronger one, and that set a default for me thinking that I needed a vibrator to have orgasms for a number of years. And then I started to learn in my mid-20s how to have more G-spot orgasms, more like ejaculatory orgasms, or just like the nice releases that feel from like from gushing or squirting, but not with the actual orgasmic process. And I did do what April did too, went on a vibrator strike as well. And part of that was because, I was needing it all, thinking I needed it all the time. There's nothing wrong with it, because pleasure is pleasure, right? Like,
right. Who cares?
Own your fucking pleasure. You're having orgasms. Like, and this is the issue with a lot of men, is that their masculinity is so wrapped up in the doer and like the giver of the pleasure. And actually, I'm not naming any names, but a man I was talking to last night at the party we were at was saying, yeah, when a woman really needs to use a vibrator to get off.
The word needs.
He said it's really unattractive to me. I'm like,
and I had that situation before in my single days where it was,
they're so stupid.
Guys were getting really uncomfortable, like, oh, or they'd be talking dirty to me during sex and be like, yeah, you don't need your toys now, do you?
And you're like,
I still do want my toy now.
My god,
your penis is not like, it's not a magic wand. That's why the magic wand's called a magic wand. Your dick's not.
It's not like it taking away from the interaction, the experience. For me, it's an enhancer. It's a tool to help it improve or help me get there. And it's
so
nothing about
men. Listen up.
Yeah, don't be a dingus.
Don't be a dingus.
The same thing as even if you wanted to watch porn, it doesn't mean that you can't get off unless you watch porn. It means it enhances it sometimes if you watch porn during sex.
And there's a fine line with everything. Like, we can overdo everything in life. We can overdo water, right? But like, so there's a balance there. But as we're saying, you know, pleasure is pleasure. And here's one thing: if I use it, you know, if I'm having sex with my partner and you want to use a clitoral vibrator on myself, what I usually need them to do is actually pull out most of the way, maybe only be inside me like for an inch, and barely move. because if they're doing a lot of thrusting, it knocks the vibrator off my clit. And so when they do that, then they hang out and then I have my orgasm. Then I'm like, fuck me. Like, now I'm like, I want you to fuck the shit out of me now. And like, that's awesome for everyone. Yeah. Everyone gets to win. Like, I have the orgasm.
So let's go through you that again. Now you went over my head here.
Yeah.
Okay. Going a quarter inch.
So give us a full live demo.
We're having
doesn't
sex,
this
mom.
Have to do with how large of a dick you're with? Because if you're with a large dick versus a medium dick girthy and lengthwise, what are you talking about?
I'm saying they pull out most of the way and they just leave the head in, basically.
Just the head.
Most dicks are at least quarter inch.
They just leave the head in, so the head isn't like hitting the... And there's a lot of nerve endings in that first inch. And they're not moving a lot, and they can move a tiny bit, but not a lot.
Are they on top or are you on top?
It doesn't really matter, but most... this will probably be the most effective... Ooh, it's better. One of my favorite position for this is them laying down, me on top, but facing their toes.
Reverse cowgirl.
Because I can get to my clit really easy that way, then there's no body in the way there, like their stomach's not in the
way
there.
See, every time I try that, the dick just falls out.
Well, there's a way. I don't know what you're doing. I think it's the way I'm angled.
How can it fall out?
It's just like if I go up, it'll just fall out.
What?
When you move, like if you just don't move and you just hang out there.
If I hang out like on my, like where I'm in kind of that crouch position.
Yeah, on your knees?
Like perpendicular?
Yeah, that's, or if I'm on my feet crouched.
Maybe you shouldn't be on your feet crouching and be on your knees.
On your feet crouching?
I was just thinking like a squatty potty. She's squatty potty. I'm thinking downward dog. Shit on the sky.
Yeah. Oh my God, Cam.
I'm not into scat play.
That sounds awesome.
Someone's into it.
Someone was asking about scat play the other day.
Oh man,
like
don't
that's a thing.
Go.
I'm like, it's all a thing.
So, yeah. Okay. Let's go back one more time, though.
You don't want to get into scat play?
No, no, because you didn't hear our podcast where I talked about many times how this one guy wanted to buy my.
By the way,
he contacted me again.
No.
Oh.
I found out from other people.
Oh yeah, they've been contacted by this.
Holly
guy.
Randall was contacted. Her friend was contacted. Yeah. Everyone
once
has been
once
contacted.
He
for
wants
thousands
their poop.
Of dollars. Yes. You poop. He's going to, you're going to poop in a hotel room of your choice. Of course, I'd pick the Four Seasons. You go.
Did you do it?
No, I didn't do it.
How much poop are we talking about? How much does he need?
It was like sold.
I mean,
yeah, I think two little pellets. Yeah.
He's basically asked for a hotel room.
And by the way,
it's
after Thanksgiving. It should be a lot more. This is a couple thousand.
Oh, it's what you were charging.
That is what she
said. So he's asking me. So he says, go to a hotel room of your choice. And so he doesn't want you to do it from home?
No, he's gonna come into. He goes and I pick a hotel room. Say I pick the Four Seasons. He goes, registers under fictitious names or whatever. I walk in there. I shit in the toilet, piss in the toilet.
He's got a video camera in there. He's filming you.
No. He comes in after I leave and eats it and drinks it. It's so repulsive.
Is he looking for a reaction?
He might actually be looking for this exact thing.
Because he could.
Here's the truth. I think he just wanted to. He likes the reaction of the email.
Yeah,
even
it's possible.
Could be.
But I bet you that he would have taken me up. And then I started thinking, what if I always? There's always an angle. What if I just like send it like a care package?
Or send Cam. And have him shit in the
toilet.
Yeah,
I'm wondering why he wants it in this way in the hotel room and he registers it. Like, why isn't that you just send it to him?
I don't know.
It's
illegal to send shit, first
I tried doing it. That's what I tried doing. Yeah. What if I do it like a FedEx type of thing, you know, with ice?
Because it's
like
a biohazard.
Like you do with frozen pizzas from Chicago, you know, the same idea.
So it is literally biohazard.
Yeah.
I
take a germaphobe approach to this. I'm like, no, it's okay in the toilet.
Maybe it could be like,
you gave
Uber
a shit
eats.
About this guy if he has is going to get germophobic.
Well, she's not giving a shit is what it is.
I didn't,
you like that pun?
Yeah, I didn't give a shit. But I really, I should have.
Does he pay you before or after the shit?
Oh, I would have.
Because what if you did that and then the money never came?
Yeah, what if she couldn't shit?
50%
up front.
There was some sort of a PayPal exchange thing going. I don't know. It never happened, obviously.
Okay.
But, you know, that's why I don't want to even get into it.
I thought about
it.
Selling my underwear to people.
I did do foot. Pictures. Oh. I did a foot picture for $100.
Oh,
because nice. I figured, who gives a shit?
Yeah, you have nice feet.
I don't know if I
knew
that.
I have nice feet. I've got Fred Flintstone feet.
I like them.
I did a foot picture for $100.
I did a foot picture. I told you about this.
I don't know if I knew that.
All right, and can we go back to vibrators?
Wait, vibrators.
Definitely more exciting than
well,
my
actually,
foot picture.
Well, actually, I wanted to know if did you guys have any weird experiences in the sex shop?
Oh yeah.
Working in the sex shop?
Yeah.
Did people come in? Funny stuff.
We didn't. I mean, I personally didn't have a lot of weird stuff there. I mean, there was.
What about the guy stealing?
That
was kind of funny.
The guy stealing that we caught someone stealing. But I think
what was he stealing?
It's just a whole bunch of sex toys. He just came in and sold sex toys, and I ended up hunting him down at the farmer's market because he had dreadlocks, and I totally profiled him. And I was like, he probably hangs out at the farmer's market, and he did. And so he got arrested. Got him arrested and got my money.
Did the police follow him?
I had them come there and arrest him because we had already filed a report.
And, but wait,
we had his images on camera already stealing stuff. So, I mean, he just came and stole a bunch of products. But I think that was interesting when I did have a stalker. And it was after April and I stopped working in the retail store Pure Pleasure a number of years ago, partially because I was burnt out. And also when we started the podcast, it became a little weird. Like people could find me there. So I stopped working there, but there was a day where I just randomly still worked there. And right before that day, I was there helping. We had been on the cover of The Good Times, a local Santa Cruz paper for our podcast. And I got an email of a guy with his shirt off with a whole bunch of whips and chains, essentially like, inviting me to maybe play with him or something. And I was like, oh, this is weird, I'm gonna delete it. And then he followed me on Facebook and sent me something there. And then I went to Pure Pleasure that next day, and he came in, and he is just very weird energy. And under his breath, he said something like, maybe you could be my wife. And like, this, and I was like, oh my God. And he left, and then he sent me more emails. And
then he would come by the shop looking for you.
And then he came by the shop a couple of days later and told my employees that he wanted to take me to Hawaii. And
so, what does he think he's going to say? Oh, you want me to be your wife? Yeah, I'll be your wife.
Yes, please.
Your whisper back. Yeah, yes.
And I want to go to Hawaii with you. Yes.
With some stranger that you've never seen before in your life. This is disgusting.
Delusional. And it was a little scary because I never had anything like that. And it's just this person, you knew certain things about me where I worked at the time. And so my mom was like, you're not working here ever again. You're like, you don't work the retail floor, because it freaked her out, which was great because I didn't want to work there anymore. Anyways, I got burnt out. But it changed my mentality for a couple weeks. Walking around town, I was a little more kind of looking around my shoulder.
Amy gets more in a stalker situation. I think people are scared of me.
Yeah, she's like,
I'm not as approachable.
Except when we're on the dance floor, you get the men that will grind you and pick you up, and I don't get that.
They know she likes the grinding. Is
yeah, they did.
Yeah, we know about her grinding. Oh my God, you guys are freaking me out. I get so paranoid about this stuff, especially this morning with getting these random,
Well,
dick pics. It was huge too.
Here is the thing that I was going to say earlier that you wouldn't let me say.
Okay. Full circle.
Yeah. Remember earlier when I was talking about the girls I wanted to hang out, and you were like, you have to stay on this topic.
Yeah. Go for it.
All right. So this is the point I wanted to say. So, there is something, a lot of people ask like, hey, when you're podcasting, is that really you that comes out?
Yeah.
You know, is that, and in the past, I usually say, yeah, it's a caricature of me. It's myself that comes out when I'm around my mom. You know, it's not what necessarily I'm like around my best friends.
Wait a second. What does that mean? I'm not your
friend. No, you're a special best friend.
Oh,
okay.
Mom isn't like that.
Mom's sad.
You're the original best friend.
You're a special best friend.
Okay. I like special best friend.
Yeah. So
I'm an SBF.
Okay. SBF. Yeah.
But I was reminded of this because I've started doing morning pages again. You guys know what that is?
Yeah, uh-huh. I do not.
Okay, so it basically, it's like stream of consciousness. Every morning you just write out 3 pages.
Okay, oh.
There's no purpose for it other than just getting your thoughts out.
What is that book from? The Art of...
The Artist's Way.
Yeah, The Artist's Way.
Yeah. It's supposed to inspire your creativity and do all these wonderful things. And I think podcasting is a very similar effect where you kind of, if you talk enough, your shit is going to come out.
Yeah.
You can't hide for this long, you know?
I've been hiding.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it is. So when men come after you, they probably do know a true side of you, you know, and get a pretty good picture of you.
Totally. Yeah, I'm like, well, they know a lot about me. Like, you know, a lot about me. And I think what people, when they listen to Shameless Sex, they get us. I don't think that we're not performers.
Yeah, people have asked me that before too. Like, is that your really? Real life that you talk about in the podcast? I'm like,
no, you hear us talk about our wounding. You get to see our humor. You get to see our kind of low days sometimes. We're like, we're not, because we'll be on there sometimes. We're having a terrible day.
Yeah, this is
you
a know? Tough day right yeah. now. And
but that's what they want. They want to be able to really know you, because they don't want
acting.
Yeah, nobody wants actors.
No.
Yeah, and it's nice when people are fans of that, because to me and probably you, I'm like, oh, you're a fan of the real me. That's what it feels like to me.
Well, that means you're a friendly person.
Yeah,
someone who wants to be friendly.
Oh yeah.
I just love it when people think I'm funny.
You're funny.
I'm funny.
You're hilarious. Yeah, you're absolutely hilarious. That's why you're getting
people
paid.
People are always, whenever we are together, they always think that I'm going to be this crazy bitch. Do I ever remember when we've done like product trainings and stuff? I'll start to talk and they're like, oh, we thought you were going to be like this serious, like kind of like.
I'm the serious
like,
one.
Yeah, and yeah. Amy's the more serious one. And then I come out and I'm just, I totally will make fun of myself. But it's that dynamic, we get not pegged, but.
Pigeonholes.
Or yeah. There's another word I'm thinking. Profiled.
Ooh.
We get profiled.
You guys are profiled.
Yes.
Cam and I are profiled.
Yeah, we're profiled.
I'm the serious one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
We are coming up on our time over here because we wanted to record for like 45 minutes and then
right.
do their show for 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, we'll do part two.
So pop on over.
Pop on over. Mom, did you, I think we do. We
I didn't even get close to
I
asking
know, we
for
had
the,
so many questions
the
for
sex
you.
Sex toy questions I wanted to ask.
We could do another, like a couple more.
Oh, we could do it for patrons. Okay, our patrons are going to get special sex toy advice.
Ooh.
But you do also like just straight up vaginal penetrative G-spot-ish vibrators, I'm assuming.
Are you asking for which ones we like?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a fan of, we love a company called Fun Factory. And they do
the Moody and the Miss
Moody
B.
And the Miss B, which you like rabbit style vibrators, like internal and external.
Yeah, I don't like the kind that like, and I'm not gonna mention names because it's not nice, but they don't fit anatomically.
Yeah.
So you
awkward.
Can't like get like it inside, you know, to both ends if you want to get the right angles.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I found one from Lilo that did work better than others, but if you, depending on your anatomy, some yeah. of them don't work.
That's why it's nice to have the flexible external piece.
Right. Both
and that's
them.
Like the Fun Factory one. It has like the Miss B is like curved and it curves in just such a way that it can really tap into the G spot and has a handle at the end. And then the external part, it kind of is flexible. It's like a flexible look, almost like a paddle. So it covers more space on the clitoris, but then it also works as like a grind. So it will
Ooh,
hit
Miss
you.
B?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. MISSBI. Yep.
Cam, new sponsor.
New sponsor.
On it.
On it.
I wanted to know, my last question for you guys was, how has your sex life changed since doing this podcast?
That's a good question.
Or your approach to sex.
So say your name first and then who you are.
This is April.
Okay.
I'm the one that... The clit's blown out. I'm just kidding. So
by new association.
By my own association. So I would say the journey with my sexuality has really, it's opened up since the podcast because I'm doing all of this work around reading and discovery and kind of like valuing what I want and need more in the bedroom. I never did that before. It was always about pleasing the other people or expecting them to bring my pleasure to me. Not realizing that I was responsible for my own pleasure and for communicating what I wanted. And so it's really opened me up in this way where I've realized I can voice what I want more. I can actually discover more parts of my pleasure and of my sexuality that I never thought to even approach before. So it's been a really, it's cracked me open in a really nice way. And it continues. It's a continuation because our pleasure changes on a weekly basis, daily basis, hourly basis sometimes. So things that I enjoyed a year ago, I'm totally not into them anymore.
And wait till you get to be my age. Changes a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
hormonal changes could do a number on a lot of women my age.
Mm-hmm. So it's been really helpful. And I'm sure for you, it's,
yeah, it's more empowered over time, like developing more of my voice and knowing more about what my body likes, feeling more comfortable in discovering that and exploring that and asking for that with partners. And so, yeah, I think the podcast itself, because we are constantly learning from our guests too, so inspires more things to try. There's been some episodes that have just been life-changing for both of us. Like when we've done episodes with sexological body workers and then did sessions with them. And
wow.
I don't know if you've had Jaya on your show yet, but she did her erotic blueprint work is incredible, really insightful. Celeste and Danielle
down,
with
Cam.
Celeste and Danielle with their core desires work and all these different theories about how we can get more clear on who we are uniquely as a sexual being, and then how we can advocate that, you know, share that with partners, and then and figure out who they are uniquely, and knowing that that changes, and this is a constant conversation, and it's just been life changing, and it creates more, as Celeste and Danielle would say, you know, people having sex on the kitty menu, you like your cheeseburgers, yeah, and cheeseburgers and French fries. And but when you do this and you add all these different things to, like, oh, let me try this and this, this and this, and then, oh my, I have this big gourmet menu.
It's
now
like a Michelin 3-starred menu, tasting yes, menu that's available.
Yeah. And it, and it might not mean you're going to be into anything, everything, but it's like this openness to discovery of, you know, what's possible. And it just leads to this like really fulfilling life.
And that's what happens. A lot of folks in long-term relationships specifically who do seek out podcasts and different avenues of learning, their sexuality is changing all the time. So it's important to voice these things, and with your partner and within yourself too, and doing your 3 pages of discovery in the morning, mm-hmm, and kind of tapping into what do I really want, or doing, you know, we've done work on Instagram where it's asking folks to self-pleasure for 10 minutes for every day for the next 30 days and what comes up for them and what do they discover about themselves. And it's things like that where it's the progression of your relationship and of your sexuality that's really important to keep tapping into. Mm-hmm. And
are you guys concerned that you will change in terms of being monogamous? It sounds like you're both monogamous.
She's monogamous. And I am like in the beginning phases of going really deep with someone. So there's not like, like titles or labels or rules or boundaries. Although like we're both very much like, really considering the other person and any other things that are coming into our on our radar. So I identify as a mostly monogamous person or monogamish,
yeah,
because I believe that for me, certain levels of sexual openness lead to more aliveness, especially in long-term relationships, whether that's having sex in the other room with other people and still just being with my partner, or like being witnessed, or having maybe like make out with another couple, or what, you know, all this. I like having a little bit of spaciousness to negotiate openness, but I'm mostly monogamous.
It's easy. Monogamy is just easy for me because my life is very
busy. You're busy.
Excited. Yeah. Excitement. There's so much excitement and busy, and it's just easy for me. I'm never saying that it will always be that way. Mm. And I've talked openly with my partner. We're building our foundation. We've only been together a couple of years. And for me, I want to build a strong foundation that doesn't have cracks.
Yes,
and then we can explore from there. And I'm open to a lot of things, but I think the exploration would have to happen within our couple.
Yeah. And it won't change our podcast because we're still constantly learning with what we're with, even within monogamy, you know, and like, you know, and so it doesn't mean that I have to go to like a wild sex party, have an interesting thing to talk about on the podcast.
Right. We feel that pressure.
You do feel that to do wild things to keep it spicy.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, you don't. Okay.
No, it would definitely add to our podcast. If one of
y'all
us
want to go to a sex party together, let's go.
Definitely not together.
No.
That would make for a special podcast with you guys.
Weird thing. No,
we did think about going to a dungeon together, though.
Just to watch, not to interact.
Still too strange.
It's it's hard enough even going to like these sex expos together.
You know, really?
There's a line at
some
point.
They're very clinical, I feel like.
Sometimes there are like stations though where you see people like.
Yeah, you interviewed the Glamazon.
We did. We barely talked about like the fact that you do this work with your mom.
Yeah,
like. Is that strange at all?
No, not at all. No, we can go to...
Would you go to a dungeon with your mother?
Probably not a dungeon or a sex party with my mom.
I don't think your mom would even do that.
No, it wouldn't be her jam either. But no, I mean, I could go to like, you know, the AVN show and there could be people having sex on stage. And I'd be like, look, mom, that's really interesting, isn't that? And
that's your about where we are, think.
Yeah, what but it doesn't create a discomfort between us. And my mom and I can talk to each other about our sex lives. And she listens to every podcast episode of ours. So she knows a lot of the crazy shit that I'm doing, but reverse, there's a little different, like mom can share with me about her sex life, but there has been a couple of times where not lately, it was like, you know, 10 years ago and she was engaged to a man and she would use the word raw and a description of some sex that she's having. It's like, mom, one step too far. Sorry, you can talk about sex, but don't want to visualize your raw pussy. Thank you.
Wait, so your mom and dad are not together?
No, they probably should separate the day they got married, honestly. But they were together for till I was 17, and although I always knew that they weren't really meant to be together, and she got engaged to like 3 different men after that, and now she's dating the ladies. She has a girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
Oh, your together. Mom switched teams.
Yeah, she did.
And what about you, April?
My parents,
are your parents still together?
No, definitely not. They have not been together since I think I was six when they divorced. And my mom's been in her third marriage now. And I think they're pretty sexless. I think he's got a hip problem and probably can't bend that well.
I hear you.
I've given her toys and I asked her if she uses them and she's always too embarrassed to tell me.
April.
She's like, oh, I can't tell you that. Yeah, she's been on our show before. We did a mom show.
The mom episode.
Yes. And she was full of surprises. She also works at a church. And so it gets like really weird her sometimes. She's like, what if someone from church is listening? I'm like, then... Yes.
Awesome for them.
Then you should be stoked.
That's what I don't get is like, why are they worried about that? Yeah. You know, that's the craziest thing to be worried about. If they're listening, that's a good thing, right? Yeah.
Right.
Well, and they're obviously interested.
But that's a generation of like, what is someone going to think? My mother's like, what is someone going to think if you know, they hear you doing a show about sex? I'm like, most of your friends are dead. What are you worried about?
I mean,
87 year old, that's what you'd be worried about?
I thought about that before. Sometimes I'll be like, in the showers when I do a lot of my deep thinking soul. Within myself,
and I'm
like, no. Oh, okay. I think I'm like, fuck, if I ever do want to run for like political office or presidency or something,
give it up, April.
Yes,
and that ain't happening.
I know, but I have to say though, I'm like, wow, what I'm putting out there, there's nothing that I'm ashamed of. There's stuff that I'm like, fuck, because you know, I talk about I had an affair. There's, you know, I cheated, and there's all of this. I have an STD, you know, that I've had since I was 17. That like stuff that I never ever wanted people to know. That was the parts of me that were really hard to share. But those are also the most powerful pieces that people out there that are listening are like, wow, that's fucking shameless. Like that you're actually living what you preach.
It's fucking sick.
And
it's awesome.
I'll continue on that journey because I think we all need to have a little less shame.
And why are we shame? Why would that be something to be shameful anyway? You wouldn't be shameful if you had a cancer, God forbid, but you're shameful because you have an STD. They're both diseases.
I got one. I first lost my first had sex for the first time. Amy hates
you. Lose anything?
I didn't lose anything.
All right, what? This was a herpes.
Yes,
that's what I figured because that's the only thing that lasts forever.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Most common one. It's so common.
So fucking common.
I know, it's true.
Well, you guys, this has been such a wonderful
podcast. We had to end on the STD note.
No, do have one question.
No. Oh, God. Oh, it sounds like it's going to be a good one, too.
Have you ever walked in on a parent having sex, or have they ever walked in on you having sex?
I've walked in on a parent having sex. I have been downstairs and heard my mom having sex with her, one of her fiancés at the time.
One of her fiancés?
Yeah, someone that she was engaged to for, she had like a couple of them where they had this little this engagement thing that she was never meant to be with them. That's a long story. But, so I've heard that, like, you know, the banging from the upstairs, like, that's my mom getting banged out right now. and I have had, my very first boyfriend and is now my housemate. We love each other very much, but we are not partners. When we were in a relationship together, when we were like 19, we were having sex at his house. I was in reverse cowgirl. So he's laying on his back with his, you know, cock up, and I'm on top of him, but facing his toes.
This is your position.
The door.
Oh my God.
So completely naked, everything here. And his dad walks in.
No.
And I make eye contact with him, and I'm just facing him. Like my pussy's kind of like right there. And he's like, oh, and then he just leaves, and we're like, oh shit. And he was in it. I mean, I think I was more embarrassed for him, and he was really embarrassed. And it was like this really hardly took a while for us, I think, to all, like, we never talked about it, but I was like, that was intense.
Oh, well, my God. I mean, it is the worst position you could possibly
worst.
Be in.
Yeah.
And you're like,
he saw all of
did
me.
You really want your whatever stepfather, what figure, whatever, to see you naked? It's kind of weird.
And he's still in my life. This is when we were like, you know, 19 or something. And I'm now best friends with this, you know, that ex-partner. And so I still see him around and I'm like, hey, but I'm not like, hey, remember that one time you saw my pussy?
How'd I look?
Yeah. Like, it was pretty, we just pretend like that never happened.
Holy fuck.
I'm sure he loved it though.
Wow. Maybe.
I'm sure he did.
Oh God.
Come on. Like, how old are you?
Yeah. Then? God, I was 19.
Yeah, 19 year old.
Oh my God.
He must have loved it.
I bet he never walked into that bedroom and came without knocking.
Rule. Yeah. That's a good rule to have.
Just knock. Yeah.
Yeah. I never heard my mom having sex.
Or walked in.
My dad, I never lived with my dad or anything. So definitely did not ever see him. But my ex-husband's parents, his mother specifically, walked in a couple of times.
A couple times.
Yeah. She like had like a lunch break that would vary. And so we'd be like at the house because we live with them for a short time when in Israel. And yeah, she definitely walked in two different occasions.
Holy shit.
And what was the response?
Well, she didn't speak English, but she was like, oh. And so, and then, you know, he would be like, Ima, like what? Like, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Because they're Israeli.
Yeah.
So funny.
It was always a thing, but she had two boys and I think they were pretty good about having girls in the house over the years. They never really cared. So
lucky you.
Very yeah. open-minded mommy.
Open-minded.
You guys haven't seen each other have sex?
No, thank
well,
God.
Well, he walked in on me years ago. He doesn't remember it, though.
Years ago, when I was five or something like this.
Oh, no, you were not five. You were in high school. And
what? You forgot that?
In and oh. I was so awkward.
I have a feeling it was another child. No. I don't think it was me.
It was you, because I know, because later on, after a few minutes went by, like I was like shaking, and I'm like, oh, shit. Because you walked in, and you're like, I think you're... Your dad shouted out, "We're sleeping," and you're like, "Yeah, Dad." And then you went back into your room, right.
Sleeping.
And then I'm like, and of course, his father goes, "Let's finish." I'm like, "Are you out of your goddamn mind? I'm so uncomfortable right now." So we stopped, and then I let like 5 or 10 minutes go by, and I walked in, and you were on your computer, and I remember like just trying to shoot the shit, like, "Oh, nice weather today. What are you working on?" And you're like, "Nothing." And I just thought like you were thinking, "Oh, that was so awkward." But the truth of the matter is that
not phased. Zero.
I don't think you knew what was going on, and you were genuinely like, "Yeah, Dad."
Okay. That's exactly what I think happened.
Yeah.
You wanted
it probably was like he was like, "We're sleeping," and I'm like, "How are you talking right now if you're sleeping?"
Yeah, that was something like that. He had no clue what was going on, and then that was it. So
he's fine. Look at him now. Look how he turned out.
Look at me now.
He is now great. Now that I said that the student is mentoring the teacher, whatever that word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a little weird analogy with mother and son, but
but it works.
It works.
It works, yeah.
Well, anyway, you guys are
we
best.
Could talk to you forever.
Oh, yeah. And I know.
We'll continue to talk to you on your podcast,
yes.
Shameless Sex.
Yeah.
Guys, yeah. Come over and listen to y'all on this.
If you want to learn about sex,
this is the place to do it.
This is the place. You got to listen to Shameless Sex. They don't learn it that we're not that educational on our show. I mean, we do.
I don't know what we are.
You're educated.
It's more comedic
and playful.
Yeah, we try to play
for it. But if you want the nitty gritty, if you want the deets,
you want to know the positions, check and the vibrators.
Out Shameless Sex. It's incredible. Love the podcast.
Oh, thank we you. Love you.
We love
thank
being
you.
A part of your podcast network.
The Pleasure Podcast Network is
didn't
awesome.
Didn't you say the other day like it was like one of the best choices we made for a
yes,
podcast?
Yes, I
was
did.
To be a part of your podcast. Yeah.
Just the amount, I feel like a little family and the amount of love we get and give. And I just really enjoy
it. And for those of you who don't know what this Pleasure Podcast is, because we barely talk about it, it's a network of sex podcasts that Cam started on his own as an entrepreneur.
They're all sex positive.
All sex positive. Yeah. They're all really cool.
They're
bunch
dope.
Of really
hand picked by Cam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it dope?
And it's growing.
People.
It's yeah. growing. Yeah, there's growing. Lots of options. And
we're up to 10 now.
Pleasurepodcast.com. It's pleasurepodcast.com. Right?
Pleasurepodcastsplural.com.
Right. Yes. Check it out. There's also great other podcasts on there that everyone should listen to as well.
Yeah. And is there anything else you guys want to pitch or let our listeners know about?
Follow us on Instagram. We do a lot of awesome contests every month. We're at Shameless Sex Podcast on Instagram, and we try to do like a monthly contest where we give away free toys and free things and information, because that's the gift that keeps on giving.
Hell yes.
And what else? Become part of the Shameless Sex Revolution. That's what we say.
Mm-hmm. That's love it.
I'm gonna be part of the Shameless Sex Revolution.
I'm part of it. Also, we're going to be recording a little bit more for Patreon, so stay tuned and join us on patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom to hear more from Amy and April. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having
you.
Us.
Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.